Well, our speaker tonight does not need that much of an introduction because she's been here like her whole life. So, would you give a warm welcome to Chris O'Connor as she comes to share the word tonight?
Thank you, thank you. Check, check. Can you guys hear me? Alrighty, I'm excited to continue on the series in Acts. And I know you love my teacher stories, and since school vacation's coming up in a week and a half, I'm going to leave you with one last one before summer break. So, well, this one's a little funny. So I work in an alternative school, most of you know, called Springfield Middle School. They couldn't even give us a good name, we're just Springfield Middle School. All the other ones have like a real name, but. And we have something at Springfield Middle School called the Daily Point Sheet, okay? And each student receives a point sheet daily in their homeroom that's kept on a clipboard, and it goes from class to class, teacher to teacher. Students earn points for being respectful, having their mind engaged in the learning, transitioning appropriately in the hallway, and for being safe. It says something about my population when you have to earn points for being safe. But that is one of our big, huge core values that we work on at Springfield Middle School. So you can earn up to 100 points per day. And there's a place for teachers to make comments as well. Some comment examples are, so-and-so was running around the classroom hitting another student with their shoe. Or, so-and-so was running from desk to desk. Or, so-and-so slept the entire class. It could also say, student threw their computer and it shattered. But enough of the negative. Sometimes the point sheet might say, so-and-so was focused for 90 minutes and completed the test. Or, so-and-so ignored negative peer behavior. Or, so-and-so offered to help their peer with work. Which, these are things that are expected, so we have to kind of like, you know, I mean, everybody should be doing their work, right? But we have to like push our kids so they get points for doing what they're supposed to do. But sometimes we'll say, so-and-so remained in their seat during a hallway fight. Some students are super invested in their charts because they can earn incentives based on their points. Some could care less and rip them up at the end of the day. Now, I'm telling you all this because students sometimes try to buy my favor with their point sheets. They might earn 30s and 40s all week, and then on Friday say, and this really does happen, Miss, can you buy me a special lunch today since I earned all of my respect points this morning? I'm like, what? You've been running around like a wild child all week and you want me to buy you KFC for being good for 1 hour? I'm like, yeah, no. Takes a little more than that. But my favorite thing is when my students do well because they're self-motivated. And I catch them being good. I love that. Like when they're not expecting something in return, but they're just doing what they're supposed to do because they're motivated to do it, right? There's one student who he's mildly autistic. He's on the spectrum, and he's such a sweet kid. And he's not even assigned to me, to my class. But sometimes he'll come to something called Fun Friday, and he'll participate in my activity. He's so cute. And yes, I get sucked in by the cute ones. I just do. I can't help it. I'm like, sure, you want me to buy you this? Sure. Let's order it right now on Amazon. But he sometimes, he's so cute. And a week or so ago, I decided, I'm like, I just want to get him something. I don't know. He's such a cute kid. His name's Shalom. I probably shouldn't say his name, but his name's Shalom, and which means peace. And I'm like, you can't be cussing people out if your name means peace. Come on. We got to work on that. But he still is a sweet kid. And so the other day, I bought him some candy. Shh, don't tell the nurse, you know, we're supposed to be giving them only fruits and vegetables, but yeah, they don't like that. And he was shocked, and I pulled him out of his class. I asked his teacher first, and I just decided to give it to him because, like, I knew it would make him smile. I knew he would be happy with it. He wasn't expecting it. He doesn't even know me that well. But he was just thrilled and smiling ear to ear. And sometimes it's nice when you get gifts just because someone wants to do it for you, right? And I think we're going to learn a little bit more about our Heavenly Father and how he wants to give good gifts to us, not because we've earned it, not because we deserve it, but because he loves us and he just loves to bless us. So we'll come back to that at the end. So the text we're studying tonight, it's going to be on the screen. It's Acts 8, 4 to 25. And Pastor Stephen last week ended on the martyrdom of Stephen. He was the first martyr in Jerusalem. Saul, who is now called Paul, was there encouraging it. And so naturally, when somebody is being persecuted, the church or those around decided to flee. Okay, they left. They scattered. And this is where we take off. So Philip proclaims Christ in Samaria. Okay. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. And the crowds, with one accord, paid attention to what was being said by Philip when they heard him and saw the signs that he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who had them, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was much joy in that day. Simon the magician believes. This is verse 9. But there was a man named Simon who had previously practiced magic in the city and amazed the people of Samaria, saying that he himself was somebody great. They all paid attention to him, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the power of God that is called great." And they paid attention to him because for a long time he had amazed them with his magic. But when they believed Philip as he preached good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Even Simon himself believed, and after being baptized, he continued with Philip. And seeing signs and great miracles performed, he was amazed. Now, when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, when Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, so that anyone on whom I lay my hands on may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness of yours, and pray to the Lord that, if possible, the intent of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." And Simon answered, "Pray for me to the Lord that nothing of what you had said may come upon me." Now, when they had testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. I love how this passage, like the brackets of the passage, are they start with them preaching outside of Jerusalem to the Samaritans, and then after this happens, they go back and preach the gospel to the Samaritans. So our major theme for tonight is the Holy Spirit leads us, we don't lead him. The first thing I want to talk about is the Holy Spirit desires to lead you to other places. So the passage comes right after Stephen is martyred, and you know, it's interesting, and Pastor Stephen says this a lot, even about Jesus' death on the cross, that, you know, what the enemy meant for evil, God means for good, right? Like, the enemy played right into God's hands, what he wanted to happen, right, through Jesus, and because that was God's plan. Same here with Stephen. Because Stephen was martyred, naturally the church began to scatter, which means more places got to hear about Jesus. This was the first time where the gospel was preached outside of Jerusalem. So Romans 8:28, like it says, all things work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Of course, you know, they were devastated over the loss of Stephen, and they were fearful. It's not like it was a celebration. But how cool is it that God used this to disperse the believers and spread the gospel? So actually, persecution was indicative of the Holy Spirit's work. This fires me up so much because now the gospel, like I said, is spreading from Jerusalem to Samaria. And this is the very first time, and God used something so ugly, and he used it for his good. We're introduced to a man named Philip here. He's not one of the disciples or the apostles of Jesus. This is a deacon. He's a man of good repute. And we're introduced to him. And it's interesting that he's doing miracle signs and wonders, which leads me to believe, and I know this, that God uses ordinary people, right? He doesn't just use the pastors, the apostles, the missionaries. He uses you and I. And he was seen as a man of God. But Philip didn't bring the gospel to Samaria. The Holy Spirit brought the gospel to Samaria through persecution. And so this is a geographical spread of the gospel, which is just so exciting. It just kind of, you know, it dispersed. The commentary that I'm using, one of the two commentaries, states, sometimes we have to become uncomfortable before we'll move. We may not want to experience it, but discomfort may be the best thing for us because God may be working through our pain. When you are tempted to complain about uncomfortable or painful circumstances, stop and ask if God might be preparing you for a special task. I have a quick little example. So I've been teaching at my job for 15 years, and which means I started as a baby because I'm so young still. But I've been teaching there for 15 years, and I've always loved it, and I always felt like it was my calling, and I've always just loved the kids, even though it's a really difficult place to be. But the past couple of years, I've been, you know, thinking that there was a transition coming. And Franco remembers me saying at the very beginning of the year, I'm like, this is going to be a really difficult year. New administration. So my principal that I worked with for years left. And new administration, just a different way of running things, is all I'll say. And we merged with our sister school. We're in a new building that was unfit to educate the children, the elementary children. So they got a new building, and we went to the unfit building. So it's just kind of a whole, you know, it was just a perfect storm for a really tough, challenging year. So it became very uncomfortable for me, and I didn't feel that same, like, passion. And obviously, where I work, it's not like it was a comfortable situation. It's not like, oh, I have this, you know, cushy situation. But I realized when I became really uncomfortable, meaning that I felt like I didn't belong there anymore and that it wasn't God's will for me to be there anymore, that's when it was time to transition. So now I'm going to be teaching somewhere else next year. But I do believe that sometimes that discomfort is what pushes us out to somewhere else. So definitely keep in mind, and we're going to have time tonight to seek the Lord about that as well, but ask if God is leading you to a new place. And don't fight the discomfort. Embrace it, because God might be using you. Amen? All right. The next thing is, second point, the Holy Spirit desires to use ordinary people. How many of you guys feel ordinary? Just like, you know, a regular person. Yeah, definitely, for sure, right? I think we definitely, you know, categorize people in our minds, you know, oh, I could never do what this person does, or Pastor Stephen is just brilliant. I mean, his undergrad was like biblical languages. Like, who knows biblical languages fluently? And his, you know, graduate was expository preaching. And so I think sometimes we look at other people and we compare ourselves to them, and we're like, yeah, but I'm not spiritual enough, or yeah, I'm not this enough or that enough. But God wants to use ordinary people. I think it's interesting that Philip is the one that led a sorcerer to Jesus. It wasn't Paul. It wasn't Peter who was there as well, right? It was Philip. He was a deacon. He was an ordinary person. And God wants ordinary people that are just open and surrendered and pure in heart for him to use them. So I think that's really cool that God chose this guy that we were introduced to him in Acts a little while back. Quick mention of him. But now God chooses to use him. So this passage begins a widening of the people who are being used. So yeah, the things that God is looking for to use us is submission, when we're cleansed, and we're ready for the presence of God to use us. It doesn't come from our own personal ambition, but rather realizing that it's the Holy Spirit leading, not us. It's the Holy Spirit who empowers witness. Let's ask ourselves this question. Are there opportunities right now in your own life in which the Holy Spirit is leading you to be a witness? Think about that. Think, is there somebody in your life, has God placed you somewhere where you know that he's leading you to be a witness to somebody? Perhaps it's your own family, which that can be really difficult, right? That can be a tough place. Your job, which you might hate or think of as a burden. Your neighbors. How about outreaches in the community? I know there's a Holyoke, we have a Holyoke Safe Neighborhood Initiative outreach coming up August 20th, right? And that's an opportunity, that's an outreach opportunity in our area. He didn't pay me or tell me to say that, and I wasn't even planning on saying that. But maybe there's outreaches in our community that we can help with. Maybe that makes us feel uncomfortable. How do I talk to someone? I don't know how to do that. But maybe God's leading us to help there. Maybe he's leading us overseas to another country on a missions trip to be empowered. The Holy Spirit empowers us to witness. Maybe it's just somebody, like I said, next door. But we should ask him, and he'll lead us. We won't lead him. That's important to remember. We're not going to lead him to these divine opportunities. We should expect the Holy Spirit to push us to new places. Okay? So, you know, the first thing that we talked about is the Holy Spirit desires to lead you to other places. Then the Holy Spirit desires to use ordinary people. And lastly, the Holy Spirit leads those whose hearts are right before God. So let's go back to Simon the magician. We haven't talked too much about him. He was definitely getting a lot of attention, as you can tell. People like thought he was great. They even called him the great, right? And he was getting a lot of attention because he was performing these signs. And just so you know, magicians back then, they believed that through their practice of magic, they could actually manipulate the gods, okay? And he was exalting himself. He was on the stage. He was on the platform. He was getting all this attention, and he liked it, right? But he was exalting himself. Evidently, Simon had quite a following in the region, and he was using his sorcery to draw crowds of his own. Simon's magic was not for entertainment or to trick people. His goal was to get money. However, when the crowds heard Philip, many were getting saved and baptized. Even Simon was saved and baptized and began to follow Philip around. Talk about a changed life, right? He can change anyone. So now the man who had previously had a large and diverse following was following Philip wherever he went, himself being amazed by the signs and great miracles that Philip, in the power of Christ, was performing. The way this passage is worded makes it sound as though Simon was more interested in the miraculous power rather than Jesus. He liked that power. So he tries to pay. He offers money so that he too can have this power. He had lost the attention of his following, and now he sought to get some attention back. He was attempting to gain power through a purchase. Just as magicians thought their magic could manipulate the gods, he was trying to treat God in the same manner. But God cannot be manipulated. The Holy Spirit's power cannot be bought. We can't control the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit leads us. Simon misunderstood the purpose of the Holy Spirit's power. It was meant to bring glory to God, not to him. The intent of his heart was not pure. As mentioned before, God wants to use ordinary people, and his Holy Spirit is a gift, not something that can be purchased. It is given broadly to whoever would repent and believe. I'm so thankful that it's not just for, like, the heroes of the faith, right? Like the Billy Grahams, like, you know, the John Pipers, the, you know, all the big wigs of the David Wilkersons, all these big wigs of the faith, right? It's for us. It's for ordinary people. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us, right? Amen. So it's available to you and to me, and we're going to seek that tonight. I'm really excited about that. As I illustrated at the beginning of the sermon, my students often try to buy their way to my good graces and to get things. But if they would just wait and stop trying to manipulate me, because I cannot be manipulated, I've been there too long, by thinking that I was born yesterday or that I'm fresh out of college at my first teaching gig, they would realize that I actually want to give them prizes, treats, etc., just because. Like, I when I'm at the store, I'm like, oh, maybe so-and-so would like that. Like, I like to do that, but I don't want to be manipulated. What are some of the reasons we desire the Holy Spirit? Are we looking for credibility? Are we trying to have an emotional experience with goosebumps? Are we trying to appear more godly and more powerful in others' eyes? Are we just wanting to be a part of something big, something special? Or do we desire to see Jesus glorified and people healed physically and spiritually as they turn to him? Again, note the brackets of this passage. It begins and ends with the preaching of the gospel in Samaria. As the Holy Spirit fills us, we too can expect to receive boldness, to be witness, and we can also expect to be pushed to new places. Amen? If the worship team could come up, I'd like to begin the response time. It's so cool that Pastor Stephen embeds quite a bit of time into these services for us to seek the Lord, so it's not like, oh, it's 8:30, I gotta go. It's like, oh, no, it's 8 o'clock, I have a half an hour to seek God. So I'm really thankful for that. And we're gonna take some time to respond and to seek the Holy Spirit. But there's a few different things that I'm gonna ask you to respond to. I'm gonna ask you to come forward if you feel as though the Holy Spirit is pushing you or us as a church to be a greater witness. If that's what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you clearly, I would ask that you would come forward. Make yourself available to him, even if you're being pushed to uncomfortable places. That's gonna be the first one there on the screen. Thank you, Rob. Come forward if you feel as though something's holding you back. Maybe you felt you are too ordinary, or you have allowed someone or something to hold you back. Come forward if you need God to change your motives for being used. Perhaps you look with envy on others whom you feel are being more used than you are. And come forward to seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit for the first time or to be filled again. I would love that if we could just all come no matter what, even if we don't maybe fit into one of those three categories, if we could just come and spend some time seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, Pentecost Sunday was Sunday. God was doing amazing things. People were getting filled, baptized for the very first time, staying at the altar. It was a powerful service. Let's now continue to keep seeking him, being filled over and over and over again. And you know what? You can come forward. Thanks, guys. You can start coming forward now. But, you know, it's not about coming forward necessarily. It's all about the posture of your heart. So if you'd rather stay in your seat and maybe turn around and seek God at your pew, that's fine too. But let's spend time while we have a half an hour. I usually speak a lot more than this. I guess I'm kind of brief. But come forward and don't just sit back and observe, okay? God bless us as we seek the Holy Spirit.